DavidRenicky.com, what a great website. The man himself is even better. David, hello.
Confined to quarters, but ready to go for you, Bill. How are you?
I know you need a few stiff whatevers to get through this segment. That's okay. That's understandable because we've got a topic that not too many people want to talk about. Can you explain moon bases and urine? How does that all work and what's the story?
Yeah, I know this is a little bit, bit of an unsavoury sort of a subject, but look, it's not brekkie time, so we can really get into it a bit. The thing about space research at the moment, is that we're learning as we go, and we're finding out that there are areas that we haven't looked at before. One of those was pretty evident about 10 years ago when we required water to drink on a long voyage.
Yeah.
So they began experimenting on the space station about turning waste water, including human urine, into pure drinking water. We've talked about that. Well, we've gone one step further now, and work being done by the European Space Agency seems to indicate that experiments using blocks of concrete different with a different substance in it can make them stronger and more weatherable. In other words, the conditions on the moon are just harsh. I mean, they're harsher than anything we've got here. You've got temperatures of 180 degrees above and minus 150 at night time.
Yeah.
So they're talking about making these concrete blocks. But they're making them with an additive that you might find a little bit unsavoury, but it's human urine. The urea out of human urine is being transferred and figured into a way of putting it into the mix.
So what a sort of urea paste or something.
Yeah, they're making the concrete, but they're also using this as a solidifier, if you will.
Yeah.
It's something that can be added to the concrete to make it more flexible.
Well, why don't we do that on Earth then?
I guess they can. There's no reason you can't do that. It's never been done before because there's never been a requirement to look at conditions like we're going to experience on the moon or on Mars. So these sort of things, and as you say, that's got a good point there because they will be spin-offs into industry here on planet Earth.
And look, we need it at the moment. Industry needs a massive boost with the downturn we've got at the moment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look, even when you look at this idea, it's got a lot of practical applications to it. And the raw materials aren't hard to come by at all.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You've only got to go to a major city there and see the recycling plants or the waste disposal plants, and you can go and grab as much of it if you want to, and off you go. So who knows, the house that you go to or when you visit the hotel on the moon in the future, the concrete blocks there could contain a little bit of something different. Yeah.
More at DavidRenicky.com. By the way, why would we want to have mirrors sending sunlight back to Earth after dark? Haven't we got too much of a greenhouse situation anyway?
Yeah, this is another idea that's been put forward quite a few times. But it's never been really possible until a company called Solspace, who picked up a $2.75 million US grant to look at 5 years' worth of research into putting floating power stations into orbit there. In other words, big mirrors. The idea seems straightforward, light ultraviolet reflectors in orbit around the planet, beaming energy down to farms on Earth here. It'll boost the farm's output, and it'll give you power that we can't get when it's nighttime. So you can completely continue to use power and build your battery system up. It's a good idea. I mean, the energy coming from the sun is there. It's free. And engineers at the University of Glasgow have been playing around with this idea. It could keep solar plants running right around the clock. So the idea is simple to look at, but its application is going to be something else. The team is still weighing up whether they're going to deploy a lot of large reflectors in space there or just put it down to a whole bunch of smaller ones. Either way, you're going to have the same trouble that Elon Musk has got with his Starlink satellites up there. They're going to cause controversy. But look, if it gives free power here, energy to planet Earth, in a way we've never been able to do it before, you've got to accept that that's good for industry.
Oh, yeah, the social ramifications are amazing. So just, yeah, I think it sounds weird, it sounds unnecessary, but anything to boost our economy has got to be a good thing. So.
Well, the Japanese are looking at it too. They want to put a 1 gigawatt power station in orbit by 2031. And the Chinese also, what are they into? Everything else. Got the same concept in mind, a solar power station to put out a lot of electricity by 2030 and have a commercial scale plant running by 2050. So solar is the way to go. I've always advocated solar energy. There's so much going to waste up there every day that we're not using it.
DavidRenicki.com has more, of course. Now, since a lot of us are locked at home with nothing to do, we're being asked to lend our brains and our computers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, good idea. This is a good program. It's nothing new. It's been going for a long time. Citizen science is what it's called. Now, this may be a chance for your listeners to be the first person to discover a brand new galaxy. You know, you don't need a telescope. You just need your computer and a little bit of time. The hunt for new galaxies is on. The coronavirus pandemic is a good time for people to realise that they can put their time to good use and get involved with the science project. So you download from galaxyzoo.org, galaxyzoo.org. You download the software. And what they do, the astronomers will capture the images. They're good at picking up photographs and doing that sort of thing. But astronomers haven't got enough time or people to sift through that information. And they don't have the time to find up with any new galaxies that may pop up. So they're doing a galactic survey. We want to know how much stuff's out there. So your computer may one day sort of pop up overnight while you're asleep, pop up all these different things to go and have a look at through the night. You get up in the morning and you say, wow, look at this. So you send 20 of these off, the best candidates of that night scan, off to the headquarters there just electronically, and that's all you really do. And you may be one of those people that discover something new. It's a good program. It just means that those who want to do something practical in astronomy and be a little bit proud of what they might achieve can go and do it now. Gee, we've got the time.
Yeah, keep us occupied. I mean, you know, loose hands, as they say, can lead to the devil's work. So,
galaxyzoo.org. It's on my website. Anyone wants to go and have a look at the details? But and that's DavidRenicki.com. DavidRenicki.com.
And before you go, David, we've heard of blood red moons. What's going on with this week with the moon?
What are you doing tomorrow night at 6 o'clock?
Good question. Is that a date?
You're going to go out and have a look at the moon rise. Not a bad moon rising. This is going to be a good one. We've got a super moon coming up around 6 o'clock. We're all on the same time now, I think.
Yeah, we are.
On the east coast, yeah. So we've got a super moon. It's going to be the biggest, brightest moon of the year, biggest, brightest super moon of 2020. And it also coincides with the northern hemisphere. It's called a pink moon. We won't see it as pink. We'll see it as a little orangey tinge to it. But it indicates in the northern hemisphere, northern spring. Now, this is because of a flower that grows, a native flower in North America that is basically indigenous to that part of the world. And it seems to glow and flourish in this period of time. So this is how it's got a connection to it. Now, the moon, for your listeners, is going to be about 15% bigger when it rises. It's going to look good. And about 30% brighter. So 30% brighter is one-third brighter than what you've seen it before. It'll be nice to, you've got to have a clear view of the horizon.
Yep.
And just take it in. You're going to have king tides too, by the way. So anyone out there fishing who knows anything about king tides will know that king tides equal king catches.
Yeah, that's right. No, though not many people are out there doing the fishing at the moment because you're not allowed out.
No. Well, the fish are happy.
Just go outside and look at this this pink supermoon. So tomorrow night,
yeah,
David.
It's going to be nice. About 6 to 7 o'clock. But as it gets higher in the sky, it's going to get more white. But you will see it larger and probably a nice little orange tinge to it. But you've got to have dark skies and get away from the. And make sure you've got a clear view of the horizon there.
Right.
It's going to be good.
Well, have a good Easter, mate. You and the lovely Mrs. Rennie.
You too. Yep. We'll be here in our own little part of the world like everyone else does and waiting to get out and do a bit more astronomy. We can't do much at the moment, as you can realise, but we can all poke around the night sky from home. Don't forget that galaxy.org, and don't forget, Bill Cogan, tell me what you think of it when you go and have a look at the moon tomorrow night.
Well, I will. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Have a good Easter. We'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye.